Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Delta Flyers with Tom and Harry. As we journey through episodes of Star Trek Voyager, your two hosts along this journey are my fellow Voyager actor, Garrett Wong, who in 2005 played the role of Chao Ping Yen in the TV miniseries Into the West. And myself, your favorite helmsman, Robert Duncan McNeil, a.k.a. Robbie McDunk, RDM, Robbie D, whatever. Remember, you can get the full version of this podcast and lots more bonus material by signing up to become a patron at patreon.com/TheDeltaFlyers. Wow, Into the West. I remember when you did this. That was a big deal.
Yeah. First of all, I would like you at some point in the next intro to give every iteration of every nickname that you've ever had in your entire life, because you listed about eight, but I want everyone on the next one.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's talk about Into the West real quick. Yeah, Into the West was, I'll tell you, it was when Voyager ended, it was 2001, and there was a writer's strike that happened right after Voyager ended.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that? Yeah, that messed a lot of stuff up. So from the period from 2001 until 2005, that four-year span, I only had 20 auditions. That was it. So five per year, the writer's strike messed up with that. And so when Into the West audition came around, I have to thank the casting director and the casting assistant because they were amazing. Because I was so nervous. I just remember I was so in my head.
It was a big deal. It was a big deal.
Adaptation
of that book.
Yeah. But I was in such a weird space in my head where I felt like I couldn't book anything else. I remember I was sitting on a plane flying somewhere to do some appearance thing for some convention, and Jeff Bridges was sitting next to me. We struck up this conversation. And I said, Jeff, have you ever felt like, you know, that you didn't belong, or you felt like you weren't going to book a job or you ever again after you booked a major role or whatever? He goes, all the time. He goes, that's how I feel all the time. You know, it just, you're always having insecurities as an actor about career longevity and just booking other things. So when I got in there, my reading was, because I had all this pressure on myself, was so quick. Like, you've seen it before when you sit in on actors reading, when they rush through it, and it just, I was like, I was 150 miles an hour going through my lines. I remember the casting director looked to me and she goes, Garrett, stop for a second, breathe. We are on your side. We are on your side. You don't have to convince us already. You're at the callback already. We love you. Okay.
Yeah.
We just need to slow it down. Just enjoy this. Enjoy this process. Enjoy saying the lines. And slow it down. Slow it slower than you actually think where it should be. Like, if you think you're slow enough, go even slower than that. And you're still going to come off just fine. But right now, we need a reading from you to put this down to show the producers that isn't at 150 miles an hour. And I was like, okay, because it didn't seem to me, it didn't seem like it. I thought I was speaking normal speed to them.
Right.
But I was like, so nervous, I couldn't even tell. Yeah. So they really helped me. So I just want to, first of all, just say a shout out to both of those, the casting director and the casting assistant, how amazing they were on Into the West.
That's great.
Yeah, super cool. That's a who's who. If you look at the cast there, there's probably 50 some odd recognizable names in that cast. And it was a six-part miniseries. I was cast for episode four, so the fourth part of the six-part miniseries. And funny enough, the name of this episode in the miniseries was Hell on Wheels, which ended up being name of a series that our friend Marvin Rush became the director of photography on up here in Calgary. And guess who starred in that? Good old Anson Mount,
who's
now Captain Pike in Strange New Worlds. So we have some pre-Star Trek alumni before they become Star Trek alumni in Anson Mount on Hell on Wheels. But anyway, so I got the role, and we filmed in New Mexico. And at the time, Robbie, you remember my hair was long, because after the show ended, I didn't cut my hair. I'll just let it go and let it go. So by the time this audition came around, that my hair was below the my shoulders. It was down to here.
Wow.
So that was something that I really wanted to book a role with my long hair. And this was the role that I played with long hair.
And you had long hair when you got Voyager. Yeah, I remember when I first met you.
Yeah.
The very first time we're standing outside the hair makeup trailers.
Yeah.
You had gone in for your consultation or whatever.
Right. And it was right between the trailers when I first met you. Right?
Yeah.
And I saw you and I was like,
Kevin from Masters of the Universe.
Yes, the Masters of the Universe thing was because I loved that movie. And I was so excited when I met you then. I was very, very nervous to meet you too. But anyway, you saw my long hair then, and I grew it all out at the end of the show and let it go long. And I finally got to wear, and in fact, they even added extensions. They added extensions to my hair to make it even longer. And they braided it into it like a Chinese queue, like a long, because this miniseries takes place in the 1800s. And it's the building of the railroad in the United States of America, where the Irish built from the East Coast and the Chinese built from the West Coast. And they kind of built towards each other. And they were supposed to meet at a midpoint, but the Chinese were so good, they beat the Irish. They basically went a little further, much further than the meeting point, because they kept on going. And they had a harder job because they had to go through the Rockies.
The mountains. So, the mountains.
They had to blow through like dynamite through like cliffs in order to make tunnels, you know.
Yeah.
And that was dangerous work because they would lower the Chinese railroad workers would be lowered in straw baskets on the side of the mountain to set the charges and light it. And if they didn't pull the guy up fast enough, he would be blown up as well. So yeah, a lot of stuff.
Well, the Chinese workers on the railroad, not just in America, but also in Canada.
Yes, I've Canada
seen some
as
of
well.
The history
Correct.
There that the Correct. Chinese railroad workers were, I mean, a huge impact in North America.
Yeah.
All the rail lines. Yeah.
Definitely. And that role, it was so much fun because we were out in the middle of New Mexico and we were filming outside. It was snowing. A lot of people mistook me for Native American. They thought I was the ongoing joke. Everyone thought I was indigenous and that I was a background actor. So I got called out by a lot of different people saying, "What are you doing here?" I'm like, "I'm getting makeup applied." No, you're supposed to be in the extras holding pen. And I said, "Really? That's pretty funny because no one told me to go there." They're like, "What's your name?" I said, "I'm playing Chao Ping." And they're all like, "Oh, you're playing Chao Ping. I'm sorry. We thought you were Native." So that was
funny.
The whole running joke, but super fun job and just happy to have done that role. And if anyone who hasn't seen it, it's a really good miniseries. And
it got great reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
All right. What are we doing this week? What are we watching?
Well, I'm particularly excited about this week. It is the episode Shattered.
Shattered.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Shattered.
I'm excited. I like that name. Shattered. Shattered.
Yeah.
I don't think I even recall that name on a script, but I can't wait to go see it.
You should be excited.
Let's go watch this.
Mm-hmm. And for all of our Patreon patrons, stick around for all of your bonus material. For everyone else, we'll see you in a minute.
Wow, what an episode.
Wow,
my goodness.
Yes.
All right, well, let's just jump right into our poetry synopsis of Shattered.
Yes,
and,
let's
here's my haiku. Here we go.
Okay.
Chakotay needs help. Must bring the ship back in sync. Temporal PD. I couldn't fit prime directive in five syllables.
Yeah.
Prime directive.
Well,
see, prime directive is only four. Temporal takes three
takes
up already.
So many syllables. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go.
It's not easy. Sometimes haikus aren't as easy as you think.
No, you're right. Okay, let me hear that limerick.
Here we go with a limerick for Shattered. Okay. Voyager's timelines get mixed up and tossed. Chakotay must get them uncrossed. Seska and Borg 7 are back. JC try and inoculate every gel pack. Another bottle of cider, maybe some boundaries will be crossed. This was a big JC episode for me.
Yeah,
that one's like the headline.
No, I believe you 1000%. But it's if you want to be specific, it's not just JC. It's not JC. It's past J, future C.
Yeah,
that combo is great.
Yeah.
These two are just they're one step away from consummating that relationship.
Absolutely.
Okay? I mean, it was anyone who loves Janeway and Chakotay as a couple. And again, to be specific, future Chakotay and past Janeway. Yeah. They're going to love this episode because of all the moments that are in here. Because there, you know, there's some tough moments. There's some moments of like, you know, tough love and let me shake this into you. You know, listen to me.
Yeah.
And a lot of those trials and tribulations in this very short span of time, past Janeway and future Chakotay go through a lot of things. And when they you go through a lot of things with somebody else,
they
you
get through it. Now that I think about it, they actually get to the point of this whole JC dance they've been doing in this episode in a way they didn't for 7 years. Because they literally say, do we get together? She asked, do we get together?
She asked that, yes.
And he says, we could have, but we decided not to cross boundaries.
The boundaries.
Finally, there's an answer to what were they feelings?
Yeah,
absolutely,
they were feelings. Correct. Yeah. So, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I was, and you know, we are both JCers. We definitely are JC shippers. So, I think anyone who's a JC shipper probably was quite excited when they saw this episode.
It's very satisfying because at least they confront the issue head on. They talk about it. It's a great, a lot of fun this episode.
Okay. Let's start off with guest stars here. Let's go through these, right? Here's the thing. You and I both remembered nothing beforehand.
No.
But the minute the credits came up, I was like, oh my goodness. It was almost like the credits were spoilers in a way because the first name that pops up is Martin Rayner. And immediately I thought, oh my gosh, they're going to be going into Captain Proton. It's Chaotica.
Yeah.
And if we haven't already said this, because I know you were doing the credits beforehand.
Yeah.
His first credit was a 19 episode of Born and Bred, which seems to be a British
show.
TV series.
What year was it? 19 what?
1980. And he played the character of Bernard, which, of course, I think in England they would say Bernard or something like that instead of Bernard, we would say it. But that was his very, very first credit.
1980.
Yeah, 1980. Manu Interamy, I don't know if we've said Manu's first credit, but it is a 1997 episode of Pacific Blue, the television series about high school cops. Okay, we might have said that already. All right. Scarlett Palmers, did we say her first ep?
I don't know.
First ep? Probably. Okay. 1995. Episode of Step by Step. Remember that show? Yeah, Step by Step. Nicholas Wirth, who played Lonzak, 1966 film, For Pete's Sake. For Pete's Sake, yeah. So he's got the oldest credit. 66, yes. And as we mentioned before, unfortunately, Nicholas Wirth passed away in May of 2007. So his very, very long resume ended in 2007. But again, great in the role of Lonzak, Martha Hackett, 1986 episode of Hill Street Blues. That was her very, very first one. Mm-hmm. Seska. And the minute I saw Martha's name, I thought, what? Seska's in this one? So
Seska, Dr. Seska, Chaotica.
Dr. Chaotica, Lonzak, the robot. So Tarek Ergen as the robot, I'm sure, again. And next we have Mark Bennington, who played Adult Echeb.
Yes.
Adult Echeb. His very first credit was a 2000 episode of Diagnosis Murder. Diagnosis Murder. And also, this answers the question of why Manu was not cast on Picard as Icheb. Because I was thinking, well, what the heck happened? And now I realize
they've already established
a grown man, another actor as the grown-up version of Icheb. And this actor, Mark, is not the same actor that portrayed Adult Echeb in Picard. But because they've already established a different look, I think that's why they went with a new actor.
It makes it easier.
Yeah, it makes it easier for sure. And to be perfectly honest, I think Manu has a baby face. I mean, his face still looks exactly like he did when he was on Voyager, except he's got gray hair.
Kind of like me. Yeah, like a baby face.
Like you. You look exactly like
I still look like a teenager.
You're...
still look like a very young man. And I am, really.
Robbie, eyes look exactly like they did when they were on the show. Thank you.
Except I need glasses now.
All right. Next up, we have Vanessa Branch.
Yes.
Vanessa Branch played Adult Naomi. Her very first credit was a 1999 episode of the Nathan Lane sitcom Encore Encore. What? I'm like, what?
Well, I don't remember that at all.
You don't remember Nathan Lane and Encore Encore?
Encore Encore? No. Yeah,
this is a very, I mean, it didn't go for seven seasons, but still, this was a TV show that he starred in. And Vanessa Branch, also, Vanessa was the one who did the Orbit gum. She had the British accent, you know, saying like, you have a very dirty, dirty mouth. You need this gum. So that was
her?
Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
And what's funnier
Orbit
is that
gum is the one that had the liquid inside, right?
No,
didn't
I think
Orbits have like gushers or something.
It had little taste crystals, but it wasn't liquid though. It was like a long piece. It wasn't square. Like I know what
you're
talking about.
I like the square ones.
The square ones that have liquid inside. Those are fun. Yeah, that's fun.
Bring that back.
Yes. But
that was good gum. Yes.
The funny thing is I met Vanessa recently. I never met her on set, but I did meet her recently at a convention, but she never mentioned that she worked on Voyager. That's what's so crazy.
Funny.
And it's, I kind of laugh about that because I saw her on screen. I said, wait a minute, is that the same Vanessa that I met before and the convention? It is, but she never.
And she was at the convention signing for.
Signing for other stuff she's done. So not
other
just for
sci-fi
the chewing gum.
Other stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It wasn't
funny.
Voyager. So she didn't even have a Voyager photo on her. On her table. Otherwise, I would have said, hey,
that makes me think we should do a Masters of the Universe convention. Why hasn't there been a Masters of the Universe convention? I'm going
to
get
brought to you by
that.
The Delta Flyers.
Okay. We should get everybody
like
that was in. I'll get Dolph. I'll call up Dolph and Courtney.
I am Courtney so Cox. Behind this. This would be the
that
pinnacle.
Would be a fun convention.
Yes.
I'm saying.
I agree. Okay. And you know how much I love Masters. You know how much I fawned
over. I think people would come out for that. I bet we...
Oh, heck yeah.
Okay.
You got to be kidding me. I think this is something that we should definitely work on. I agree. All right. Okay. We also have Anthony Holliday, who portrayed Relot. And I'm guessing he played one of the Kazon, maybe?
Maybe.
Yes.
Okay.
1986 episode of Dangerous Minds, the television series, not the movie, though. So that's his very first credit.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Terrell Clayton, who played Andrews. He's the guy.
Oh, the guy in the hallway.
In the hallway. Yeah. Andrews.
I feel like that was looped or something. That was, we'll get to that.
His
but
first
I was like,
line may have been looped. His very first one was very loopy.
It's not fitting.
And okay. But his first credit.
Yes.
Was the sci-fi television series that Jerry Ryans was on before Voyager, Dark Skies.
Yes.
A 1996 episode of Dark Skies. Terrell Clayton was on that, and so was Jerry Ryan. I'm curious if he was
in the scene
with Jerry.
Scene.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be
pretty
crazy.
Interesting. Yep. Yeah. All right. Story by Mike Sussman and Michael Taylor. I was right. Teleplayed by Michael Taylor. I picked Michael Taylor.
Yeah,
every time
Michael
I pick something right, I feel like I have to go buy a lottery ticket. I mean,
yeah,
I feel like, look at that.
Good
I
job.
Got it. Yes.
Okay.
Directed. Well, we didn't get the director right.
Neither one of us.
No, but it was in the back of my mind. It was Terry Wendell. I was going to say that.
I remember
but I
when
didn't
we looked
up
Terry's credits and I was surprised how many episodes he did. I would have guessed before this podcast that he directed two episodes.
Right.
And
when
he directed six or seven.
Oh, yeah. Easily. Several Voyager episodes.
Yeah.
So,
but he didn't direct anything but Voyager. It's weird. Like he directed
no
a bunch
DS9,
of
no Enterprise, just Voyager. I'm wondering who the connect was. Like who knew Terry to begin with? Like,
I don't know.
Was it an old relationship? Did Rick Berman run over Terry Wendell's foot in a parking lot and say, I owe you? And Terry said, well, give me a directing job. Who knows?
Yeah. I don't know. Strange.
No clue. All right. Do you want to start off?
Let's get
into
the
episode?
Show. All right. Yeah. So here we go. Opening shot of Voyager flying through space.
Yeah.
My comment is it was a very CG shot. It did not look like the models. I was like, I like the models better.
They put the models into storage in season 7.
I think
seven.
They were trying a lot of new shots at this point because CG, they had built this Voyager CG asset. And so they were trying it in a lot of episodes.
Right.
To get some new looks. I like the models better.
The models better. And plus,
even though I still look like a teenager, even though I still look like a very young man, I like the old school stuff. I will.
How much was that model, the actual Voyager model, do you think?
To build the physical model?
Yeah, the one that they used seasons 1 through 6, that one.
I would guess back in those dollars at that time, at least $50,000, $70,000, $80,000.
This is...
in those dollars.
Yeah. Wow.
But I would imagine the CG model was close to the same cost, maybe. Mm-hmm. But you can do, once you build the CG model, you can have
it. You can use it over and over again.
Over
right?
and over again. Yeah. The physical model, you have to shoot every time you want to get a different angle or something. So
right. So less manpower involved with the CG model.
Clearly. Once you get the asset.
The asset itself.
That digital asset built, you can move it around like a video game. Right. However you want.
However you want it. Okay.
Yeah. We see the ship flying by. We cut into cargo bay. There's Naomi and Ichab working on a puzzle. Mm-hmm. Sitting on the floor. Adorable, by the way. Yeah.
Adorable, but I wish they gave Ichab other wardrobe than that. He's wearing the same clothes in every scene that we've seen him in every episode.
Yeah, he always wears the same clothes.
That same color, scheme.
He seemed very slow to me, Ichab, in this scene.
Yeah, almost like he was not there.
It was very slow. I was like, dude, pick up the pace. Say words. Yeah. But it was very slow.
I think like when they're playing around and then Chakotay enters, he very slowly gets up slowly looks over and says, "Commander," like that. It was a very, everything was just,
it was like in slow motion.
Delayed reaction.
I don't know.
It was weird. I agree. It was.
But I like when Naomi says, I need a green piece for Tuvok's ears.
Yeah.
I liked that. That was cute. The Tuvok.
A green piece that looks like Tuvok's ears.
That looks like Tuvok's ears. Exactly.
It's cute.
That was cute. But Chakotay comes in. Ichab apologizes for the condition of the cargo bay.
Messy,
he says. It's not that messy. They're just doing a puzzle. He says he's been tutoring Naomi. And he does say, please don't tell Seven. Don't tell her because I was supposed to be writing a paper. And then Chakotay's like, well, I'll keep your secret if you keep mine.
Yeah.
He says, don't tell Neelix where I stashed the Antarian cider because I only have a few bottles left. And I was like, wait a minute,
I think
seven seasons and he's been stashing like his
cider
alcohol, his stash in we finally have learned this. How many bottles did he have, by the way, if he still got them? After seven seasons.
Yeah, but he also mentions that this is not the replicated stuff. So this is like original.
This original
brewed cider from Antarian whatever.
Whatever.
Yes.
But Ichab says, well, if you want to really keep it secret, you should hide it with the salvaged Borg parts because Neelix will never go looking for it there because it gives him the creeps, which I thought was funny.
It was funny. Yeah, he'll never inventory that box of Borg stuff.
Borg stuff. I also thought... they're having this conversation in front of Naomi.
Yeah.
I'm like, you guys are talking about lying and hiding things. And there's a child right here. Like, really?
Okay.
Couldn't you just step away from the kid for a minute when you're talking about lying to people? And very bad role models, both of them.
Okay.
Anyway, we go to Janeway's quarters next. She's sitting on the floor, just like the puzzle. Whoa. I was like, is this a theme? Everybody sits on the floor this episode. She's got pieces and parts, not a puzzle. She's got replicator parts.
Yes.
Chakotay comes in with the Antarian cider. And I was like, oh, romance time. Janeway says, you're late.
Yeah.
And she says, but so is dinner. And we realize that she's broken the replicator again. And he says, let me guess, you burned the roast again. I love the callback to when she burnt that roast. Earlier episode.
Yeah. She called the replicator a glorified toaster back in the day, and it has never forgiven her. That's what Jamie
says. Funny.
Very funny line.
Very funny. Yeah. Chakotay says, I didn't realize the replicators hold grudges, which I thought was funny. And they're already really flirty in the scene. So this is current timeline.
Yeah, this is now.
And they are really, really flirty.
Yeah.
Which I just feel like I'm going to spoiler at the end of the episode, near the end. They do talk about how they made this decision just to be friends. They shake hands later in the episode. So I'm like, why are they still playing with fire here if they've made this decision? But anyway, they're still super flirty. They can't help it. He does mention he ran into Ichab and Naomi and says something about like, well, Ichab's going to run this ship someday. I was like, Really? Really? Like Harry's not going to run the ship?
I
Or
know.
Tom
I
or
was
something
like,
who's like really proven themselves as, a reliable, smart, heroic leader type person? Icheb is going to be your leader? I don't know.
I don't know. I think that chain of succession would go Janeway, Chakotay, Tuvok,
Tuvok, yes,
Torres,
agreed.
Harris, Kim. So, I mean, there's already about eight people before Icheb easily.
Before
So,
Icheb, yeah, I
I don't
don't
see
give
that happening.
Icheb that much credit at this point in our show that he's running the ship. But they toast. Janeway does mention, I'm not ready to retire yet. And suddenly there's a noise. She calls the bridge. Harry responds from the bridge. He's in the
Cappy's
captain's
chair.
chair again.
El
And he's in
Capitan's
the
chair.
captain's chair. You got in that captain's chair a lot.
I did, and it looked like Harry was very comfortable sitting
Very
in that
comfortable
captain's
there.
chair. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, secret hideout.
Harry says there's some kind of gravimetric surge overloading the dampeners, and Seven is trying to isolate it, but the warp core is destabilizing. So we're into problems very quickly. Janeway and Chakotay leave. They head out. Chakotay's going to engineering. Janeway's going to the bridge. Then we cut over to Astrometrics, and Seven says there's a rift opening in front of them, emitting high levels of neutrinos and chronotons. What's a chronoton? It sounds like something I put on my salad. I'm gonna have a. I'll have the salad buffet, and I'll put extra chronotons on it. I don't know if that would be good for me.
Sir, would you like chronotons with your salad?
Exactly.
So now we're on the bridge, and Janeway was walking in off the turbo lift, and Janeway
Harry's still in the
says,
chair. Harry's
yeah,
still
Harry's in the
sitting.
chair. Kim says on screen, Janeway says, what is it? So now we're looking at this crazy nebula. And Kim says, I don't know. That is a looped line if I've ever heard one. When Kim, I, it was just my energy was like, I don't know. It was like, I felt like I was Icheb in that scene. I don't know. I
You
was
and
really
Icheb had the same
same
dinner.
slow sort of
You
like
had the
we ate the
whatever.
same food that
You're
slowed
falling as the
our
look, putting you to
metabolism down.
sleep. Exactly. You had chronotons. You must have had some chronotons on your salad.
chronotons. Okay, good. That's what it is. Don't eat chronotons when you have to be on the bridge
It'll
acting like the
just
captain. It'll slow
slow
you
you
down
down.
big time. No one needs that.
So Harry doesn't know what it is. The ship is still shaking. We go to engineering. Chakotay, B'Elanna are working on it. B'Elanna says we're losing containment. Everybody out. So we feel like this something's gonna bad is gonna happen. B'Elanna's trying to save everybody. She's so thoughtful. I love B'Elanna. Then we go out to space. We see that Voyager is hit by this giant lightning bolt kind of thing. And this, and by the way, whatever effect they use on this anomaly or this spatial rift or whatever effect they use looked very Borg to me. I feel like they're using some of the same visual effects elements
Interesting.
because it
I didn't
felt,
get that.
oh, really?
Yeah,
It
you
looks
felt
sort of
that
like a
though, huh?
Borgy kind of
Yeah, but
something
none
I've
of it was
seen with a
green though.
Borg.
None of the color was were green, right? You
No,
know
it
how
was
they have
like,
that fluorescent green for Borg stuff? So,
maybe not, but I feel like sometimes
okay.
the vis effects people create some textures or, thing elements that they'll put into different,
And they'll reuse it.
they'll reuse it.
Yeah,
Yeah, that one
okay, to save some money.
felt a little reused to me.
Okay, all right.
They're hit by this lightning bolt, and then we go to engineering. We see Chakotay by the warp core, and
On that
he's
panel,
on the panel by the warp core, and everybody's out pretty much except for Chakotay at this point. And Chakotay goes flying back,
Oh, he's
and
blown back.
he's blown back. And I did make a note that shot behind him was definitely a stunt double. It was a little, it was not Beltran. It was, stunt double was kind of meh to me. Not great. And it felt like a windup. It felt like he
Was
sort
it a
of.
stunt double with a digital butt crack, or was it just a stunt double?
It was not, it did not have a digital butt crack that I'm
Okay.
aware of.
All right.
I was not investigating that deeply.
Fine. Anyway, so you didn't like Chakotay's stunt double,
I feel like
clearly.
it could have been a better hit or something. Like they should have put him on a wire and had
And
him
just
fly
yanked
through.
him back.
Yeah, he just sort of like did a lean forward and fell back
And flew
and
back.
didn't even look like Robert from behind.
But
I'm gonna
let's get
go
to
with
what he
a
looked like when he was on the ground, that
meh.
close up.
Sweet. Cut to him on the ground. B'Elanna asks the transporter room to beam Chakotay to sickbay because his face is messed.
Well, it's old on one side. So it's not injured.
Old on one side. Old.
It's almost like, what is going on? He's 95 years old on the right side of his face. Yeah.
He's half oldie.
He's half oldie.
Yeah. So one half of him.
Or half-ote.
Half-ote. Yes. Yeah. He's a half-ote.
He's half-ote.
I like it.
All right.
We go to sickbay. Doc's scanning Chakotay. He's saying, welcome back, Chakotay, as his eyes open up. I love this.
Well, he didn't say it so nicely, though. His tone was very sour. And I thought, to me, I'm like, what's going on with the doctor right here? But then we learn.
We learn. It's older doc.
Yeah.
When he was still grumpy.
Yeah. So good job by Bob. Bob really nailed it on that one. So.
Yeah, he did great. Mm. Chakotay asks what happened. Doc says he was transported here and his body was in a state of temporal flux.
Yeah.
And he says you have the liver of an 80-year-old man and the kidneys of a 2-year-old. And I'm like, that Antarian cider is rough on the liver. He's had too much of that Antarian cider.
Or could it have been the chronotons that he might have had on his salad?
Might have been the chronotons on the salad. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
But the doc has created a chronoton serum, he says.
Yes. Look at that.
To counteract the chronotons on the salad. So.
I love how the doc says, like, in any other place, I would receive an award for how well doesn't he say that? Yes.
Yeah. It's just another
day. Anywhere else,
day.
This antidote would have earned me a prestigious award. But on Voyager, just another day in the life of the underappreciated EMH.
Yeah. Aww. That's old doc. He's grown and changed a bit.
Yep.
Chakotay then asks about the others, you know, were there other injuries? And Doc says he doesn't know of anyone else that was injured.
Well, Chakotay says, like, hey, come with me. You know, let's go find if anyone else is injured. And that's when the doctor says, like, well, how am I going to do that? I am in trapped.
Oh, that's right.
I can't leave here at all.
Yeah.
And he says, well, where's your mobile emitter? And that's when we realize this is old doc for sure. He's like, my what? And I love that final interchange when Chakotay just looks at him. He doesn't explain it. He just says, I'll be back. And as he's walking out, the doctor quickly follows him to the door and says, wait, tell me about this mobile emitter. And Bob did that very well.
It was very good. I wondered in this moment, I was like, there are so many scenes with the doctor where he's chasing someone out of sickbay with the last word.
Yes.
And I was like, I wonder when that started. Like, did Bob sort of add that, or did the writers, from the writers that they sort of thought, oh, the doctor's always going to be calling out after with a funny line as somebody's leaving. But it's definitely a theme.
I'm going to start calling him Robert TLW Picardo. Robert the last word Picardo. Yes, because you're right. That's his character.
That's
seven seasons.
His bit. That's his brand.
His bit. Yeah.
He's always tossing out something as somebody's leaving.
Yes.
We do go out in the hallway and into a turbo lift. Chakotay's carrying a med kit. And in the turbo lift, we see some kind of energy surge go through.
Yeah, he's heading to the bridge, right? That surge goes through. And guess what? That kit disappears. It's just
medical
gone.
Kit disappears. And
very
he's
bizarre.
Like, what?
Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah.
That so we know something's up here.
Yeah.
We go to the bridge. There's a bunch of crew hard at work here.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it was different faces than we normally see on the bridge. It was a subtle little hint. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different faces here. We're gonna
Most
learn
definitely.
This is back pre-caretaker.
Pre-leaving Alpha Quadrant.
Yeah.
Pre-Delta Quadrant. Let's say that.
Yeah, pre-Delta Quadrant.
PDQ.
So there's a different crew, kind of a lot of different faces. Yep. Tuvok's not there. We learn why, because they haven't reconnected. But then I was thinking,
did you see
Harry's there?
Yeah.
So Harry and Tom came onto Voyager.
So you should have been there too, old Tom, right? But
I didn't get the assignment until we went into the Delta Quadrant. So I'm on the ship. If you're there, I'm there.
But I'm just kind of wandering
around.
You're an observer, remember? You're an observer. So you don't have
I figured I was in the mess hall ordering more tomato soup. That's what I was doing.
I just have this image.
They should have come into the mess. Bowls of tomato soup.
Yeah, they just Just you sitting there with a beard because you've been there so long.
Yep.
And it's one empty bowl after another of tomato soup.
That's what Tom's doing. He's just eating tomato soup and having cronutons on his salad.
Yes. You can put cronutons in your tomato soup too. They get soggy inside there. They're really good. Yeah.
Love those cronutons.
Okay. Chakotay walks on the bridge and he's looking around and there's a lot of hubbub. And he quickly grabs a passing crew member who just happens to be Harry Kim. And he says, "Harry, what's going on?" And Harry's like, "Sir, I'm afraid I don't know you." And Janeway immediately is like, "Take him into custody." But it's funny because Harry just walks away from the whole thing. He lets other people do the dirty work. He's not gonna put this guy into custody.
Yeah.
Let
other people. I also loved when we see Janeway that she stands up from the captain's chair and she's got the bun of steel.
Yeah. And it's so funny. We've made so much fun of that, but it was almost like, wow, it was almost like nostalgic to see that. Yeah. It was like, goodness gracious, there it is. I kind of missed the bun of steel. So it's the bun of steel.
He calls her Catherine. Chakotay calls her Catherine. She says, I didn't realize we were on a first name basis. And she says that they were just about to chase their ship, the Maquis ship, into the Badlands when their systems began malfunctioning. So this is just before Caretaker.
Right. Well, Chakotay does say, check your sensors. And Kim says there are some fluctuations in the environmental control. So that sort of piques Janeway's interest. She's like, but not enough for her to say, don't take him to the brig. She says, take him to the brig. So just get him out of here.
Yep.
And so he's escorted off of the bridge. As they're in the turbo lift, the two security personnel are flanking Chakotay. But as they're heading towards the bridge, guess what? Another energy fluctuation kind of comes across, and both of those security personnel absolutely disappear. They're gone. Just like the med kit earlier, these guys disappear.
And I feel like this was the clue that these energy barriers are sort of things we travel through, because both times he went through it, he was on the move somewhere.
Yes.
So you start to go, oh, this isn't coming to him.
No, he's going through something. Exactly. Yeah. He then halts the turbo lift and he says engineering. So he heads straight to engineering.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful scene. The minute he walks in, all we see are Kazon and Seska.
Yeah.
And again, we absolutely adore Martha Hackett. So seeing her again.
So fun to see her again.
Yeah. This whole episode is a walk down memory lane for me. It really is.
Yeah. Greatest hits of Voyager.
Yeah.
It feels like, so now he's gone through one of these barriers, these temporal barriers, into the time where, what were the episodes called? When Seska and the Kazon took over the ship.
Yeah. Basics part one and two. Basically Voyager was taken over by Seska and Maj Kalla, played by Anthony DeLongis, who you worked on Masters of the Universe with, and who I was taught stage combat with at UCLA.
Love Anthony. Same guy. He's awesome.
Yeah. So that's that time period. But the very first thing that happens to Chakotay is he gets hit in the face with the back of the rifle butt, of the phaser rifle butt.
By the way, I hate those rifles, the Kazon rifles.
You don't like those at all?
They look like trumpets. Trumpets with the trumpet turned the wrong way or something.
Or
it
they look like what
it's got tubes and it's
to me it looks kind of steampunky, so I didn't have that much of a problem with it, but it is a little kind of like if MacGyver was to come up with a phaser rifle, that's what he would make basically. But that rifle butt in the face immediately. And this entire scene, I mean, when Seska slap backhands him, I kept thinking, this is like Harry Kim. This is like the Harry Kim experience. Harry Kim is always the one to be tortured, to be knocked down. And I'm not trying to say this to be mean, but there was a bit of a satisfaction in me watching this, knowing someone else is going through this treatment. It's not just Harry. Thank goodness. So.
Well, they hits him. Then Seska heals him.
Yeah, she
heals him. But then moments later, she slaps
him.
Hit, heal, hit, heal. Like, which is it? Make up your mind.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
But Chakotay tries to lie to her and says he's got a dozen officers with him. He's locked her out of all the key systems.
Yeah.
And they're taking control. And Seska basically threatens to kill him if he doesn't give her access to the controls again. So he says, okay, I'm going to have to use a console. They let him get over there. And then he disarms one of the Kazon, kills one of them with his own trumpet rifle. And then He causes some kind of system cooling breach or something. He climbs up to the second level and then tosses the rifle to finish climbing out and sees that there's a ripple up there.
Right.
So he knows. Yeah. So he goes through that ripple and crosses through that barrier.
Yeah.
And Seska can't see him anymore.
Yeah, but he can still see her. That's what's so crazy. But I just want to bring up that right before he throws that rifle, Seska is like, "Don't make me kill you, Chakotay!" And she's running after him with that.
She's right there.
Razor right. She is right there. He is still climbing up there. And then she fires and misses. Mm. I mean, you. It should have went right up his bum.
It's a trumpet rifle. They don't fire straight.
No.
Another problem with the trumpet rifle.
I wrote down in my notes, she has the same aiming abilities as a stormtrooper from the original Star Wars movie, because they can't hit anything either. So she is clearly not good at aiming anything.
No.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, so she misses. Chakotay can see through this barrier. Then we cut over to sick bay.
Yeah.
And the doctor is pacing back and forth when suddenly a little panel opens on the bottom of a wall by the biobeds. And I remember when that panel opened up, I remember some of these scenes where we had to crawl in the backside of sets. And outside of sick bay was just the stage floor. It was like the old Paramount, soundstage.
Right.
And they'd always put just like a little crappy little half wall or something. So you're literally, when we would come in those scenes, it was so weird because you're like out on the soundstage and they call action and then you crawl around the corner and suddenly you're in the ship. I just had these like visceral memories of those kind of scenes where it was very funny.
It's true. But, and you're standing outside the set and you're just smelling like plywood
dust
smell.
And plywood dust. And darkness. And then suddenly you crawl through into, oh, we're on a spaceship.
There's some grip, like just standing next
exactly.
to you.
Yeah, exactly. That's what
there,
I mean. There's
drinking
light stands.
Pepsi.
Yeah. But the panel opens up. The doc says, whoever you are, I suggest you surrender. I'm armed. And he picks up a hypo spray. Very cute.
Yeah.
Chakotay comes crawling out from that soundstage behind the wall. And the doctor asks, wants to know what's going on. He tells Chakotay, says, what is the star date? And doctor says, star date 49, 49624. And Chakotay is now putting this all together, that the ship has somehow been fractured into different timelines, that different parts of the ship exist in different time periods.
Yeah.
And
his mobile emitter did not come online until a year later from 49624 from that star date.
And when he brings up the Kazon are in engineering, the doctor is very worried about the Kazon. But Chakotay does say it seems like he's the only one that can cross between these timelines.
Right.
And
because of that serum. That's what he says. Exactly. The serum. He says, it must have made me immune. Normal tech won't pass through the barriers. So then he asked the doctor, can you replicate a chronoton infused hypo spray casing that uses the same principles that you use to make the serum? So he's basically trying to figure out how to utilize what
the
same medicine the doctor came up with that helped him be immune. Yeah. Maybe he can, every time I see chronoton, I'm going to think of crouton now because of you. You replicate a crouton infused hypo spray casing?
Next time I go to a restaurant, I'm going to ask if the salad has chronotons on it. And the waiter's going to be like, I'm sorry, what? Yeah, no, chronotons. Oh, do you mean croutons? No, chronotons.
No, chronotons. Are you
I
trying
suggest
to refer to,
everyone
is that the
out
French
there,
way of saying bacon
please
bits?
try this experiment next time you're at a restaurant, order a salad with chronotons and try to correct them and see how it goes. Let us know.
Please don't abuse your server that way. Please. Okay. Yeah. So the doctor says he can replicate that.
Yes.
Cause he, Chakotay wants to take some of that with him because this is the only way that he can help.
Yeah.
Put this ship back together. He needs someone to help him. So in essence,
he needs someone to help him and yeah. He needs more of this chronoton infusion.
Yeah.
So we go to the bridge. Chakotay walks out on the bridge holding a hypospray. So the doctor must've given him some of this medicine that's helping right. him go through the barriers.
Right. Kim sees this immediately. He draws yep. his phaser.
Yep.
I looked very serious when I drew
you
that
did.
Phaser.
Yeah.
Also, they did my hair differently. That
it did look different.
It didn't even look like old school, yeah, really? Pre-Alpha Quadrant hair. No, it didn't match it. So I was like, that's interesting, but it's okay. It is what it is.
If you had had a bun of steel in the first season, you could have just had a bun. And that would have been easy.
I think we all should have had buns of steel. Like yeah. every crew member should have had a bun of steel season one. That would have been fun.
That would have been nice. Okay. So Chakotay comes through. He tries to explain about these barriers, but Janeway's not buying it.
But that's when he starts throwing out all the stuff he knows about her, right?
Now, yes. I got to say in this scene, Otto Beltran, historically on our show,
yes,
had trouble remembering his lines.
Yeah, I think he did here.
I thought he nailed this scene.
I thought you were going to tell me that you thought that he did not.
This scene, he had these long speeches about the Al-Batani posting and Dex misaligning with positronic relays. He had all this technobabble.
He had a lot.
This scene, he nailed it. There's some other scenes, like when we go to Astrometrics and stuff with Janeway and Seven, where he didn't have so much to say, and it was
he's
back
not
to
nailing
old,
it.
Old Beltran. You can see him sort of, I didn't spend much time on this. And she's kind of struggling through some of them. But this one, this is the best Beltran memorization of large speeches, I think, in the entire series. He
wow.
Nailed. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Talks about Molly. He talks tells Janeway about Molly, the
Her
Irish
dog.
Setter.
Yeah.
You rescued it from the pound and Tara Seti. That she was the runt of the litter. He talks about you love music, but you never learned to play an instrument. Yeah. You really regret that. Yeah. He learned all these lines.
He did.
And it worked to learn all these lines because Janeway buys it.
Yeah. And Janeway says, ready room. Let's go. Head to my ready room.
I need more about this in the ready room.
Yeah. I want to talk more about chronotons.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We cut in the ready room. She's scanning the hypospray. She said, fascinating story, but as the Ferengi say, a good lie is easier to believe than the truth.
Right.
I like that Ferengi saying. I don't know if that's a real Ferengi saying.
Yeah, but she never, ever, ever uses Ferengi sayings on the
but
show.
But so this is back in time.
Back in time. Was, yeah. Well, so she's still wary. She's wary of him holding this random hypospray. So she says to the one security guy that's in the room with them, she says, have Mr. Kim run a full spectral analysis. For all I know, this is poison, and Mr. Chakotay is trying to assassinate me. But right as she's handing this hypospray over to the ND over there, the background actor, that's when Chakotay grabs her hand and does this little loopy loop, and he's holding
nice
her from behind.
Move.
Yeah, little Dancing with the Stars move, and he's like, back away, get back. And
he says, it is poison. I'm going to kill her.
I'm
going to
kill her.
Away.
Yeah. Lower your weapon.
And lower then, your weapon. And
he... the way they kind of disappear around the corner was just, it was almost comical the way it happened to me when I was watching that.
It was either comical or she was enjoying it. Like he grabbed her tight and she kind of had like he's so strong.
He's like, he's so strong. I can
feel
his biceps.
There's always some JC energy going on. Even when he threatens to kill her, she still can't help it.
Okay. Now they're in the corridor, and this is where Andrews says his looped line.
It's very looped.
Let her go. Like that TNG episode, Code of Honor, that I dislike so much when they come down to the planet and the one Security, the one guy looks at Tasha Yar and says, "Your security chief is a woman." It was the same kind of like low guttural yes. voice that Andrews had.
It might have been the same loop actor because, you know, they often had the loop group loop some of the smaller roles. It might have been that, right?
Same
loop person.
Okay. Chakotay says, "Lower your weapon." And this is when Chakotay sort of grabs her and starts walking backwards, and they go through the time.
Yes, they do.
Can I call it a time fissure?
A time barrier.
Okay, so they go through the time barrier, and they disappear.
Yeah,
and that's when Andrew says, "Captain," and Janeway sort of like yells back, "Andrews," but you know she can't hear them any longer. So Andrew says, "Andrew to the bridge, I need help here." I don't think that was looped. I think that was his voice.
No, I think that might have been him.
Yeah.
That's why it was so weird, that first line.
Yeah, the first line was so not even, didn't sound anything like that actor. So Chakotay says he can't hear you. We moved into a different time frame. Andrew says, you know, just scan the area once the other security personnel arrive. He says, scan the area, but don't go past that bulkhead because he knows that's where they disappeared. But this whole interchange between Janeway and Chakotay, you know, where he's still holding her.
I want to hear what you want to say.
All right, I'm going to say this. It was like watching like a telenovela,
exactly.
It was very soap opera-y. And
I was like, are they going to kiss or are they going to kill each other?
But I got to say, the cheesiness of it made me love it. I love this episode because of how this episode to me is sort of like Los Angeles residential real estate architecture. Like, you know how in LA, there's not one type of house.
Yeah.
There's Spanish. Yeah. There's Cape Cod. There's old Southern plantation style. Everything is in there. It's a hodgepodge. It's a mishmash.
I loved it. It's a gumbo.
This is a gumbo episode, but I love this gumbo. And as cheesy as soap opery as just this, and it's only in this section in the very beginning where he's still holding her.
Well, he's holding her and he says, "Stay or go. It's your choice." He's like seducing her there.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
And then she starts to try to walk away at one point, and he blocks her with his body. They're very close.
He's like, "Without me, you'll be walking into a future that you won't know nothing about," you know? And then she's like, "Oh."
And by the way, I made a note, as they're talking, often Janeway is not even looking in Chakotay's eyes. She's looking at his mouth moving and his body. There's a lot of body scanning going on.
Interesting. And they do say, when it comes to nonverbal communication, when you look at someone else's mouth or not their eyes, other parts of their body, it means you are sexually attracted. You are sensually,
exactly.
You are turned on. You are aroused.
There was a lot of body scanning.
There's some arousal. Oh, some major arousal going on here.
Okay. they step out of that corridor. They go to a different corridor.
Yeah. And I don't like how when Chakotay says, the astrometrics lab, that's where they're going. And Janeway's like, what? Astrometrics? We don't have that. And Chakotay says, "Harry Kim designed it, or will design it." Janeway's reaction was like, "Harry Kim? Yes. Like, could he ever have enough knowledge to do something like that?" Yeah. I mean, it was absolutely
But then Chakotay
hilarious.
Stands up for him and says, "Well, you know, Harry is new to his job, but he's going to become one of your best people."
Chakotay. Yeah. That's true. And she says, "Our people?" No, he says he's going to become one of our best people. Yes.
And then she says, "Wait, what? Our people?
Our people?" Yeah. That's when the cat comes out of the bag. He's going to be Janeway's first officer. And Janeway's just trying to process this whole thing. She's not sure what to believe, to be perfectly honest.
Can I say something, though? So the temporal prime directive is going to come up in a little while. And I thought Chakotay suddenly, he's been spilling all of these beans. And then suddenly the one thing, like, oh, they went to the Delta Quadrant. Can't talk about that. But he's talked about Harry Kim.
You've told him pretty much. First.
Yeah. Like, come on. Dude.
I guess it's pick and choose.
Cherry picks what is okay and what is not.
Yeah, and what's not. All right.
But they talk about the Borg and she does say in this scene, she says, you know what, keep it to yourself. The less I know about the future, the better. So she's got a nod to the temporal prime directive here.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
We go through another corridor. There's smoke and bodies on the floor. So they're jumping timelines here.
Yeah. The ship is at red alert.
Yeah, she starts scanning, detects some active neurogenic fields. Chakotay says, well, this could be the day the telepathic pitcher plant put us all into comas, or it could be the time the aliens invaded our dreams. Again, he's spilling the beans on so many things. Unbelievable. So he's telling her all these things.
The only thing he's not saying is what episode, what the name of the episode is. That's the only thing he's not saying.
Yes. But it does start to feel like the highlights of Star Trek Voyager, the 7-year journey.
It is. That's why I love this episode. Mm-hmm. They walk into Astrometrics and immediately we see two crew members. We do not know who they are, but soon enough, we do know. Mm-hmm. It's adult Naomi Wildman, adult Icheb. And they look shocked because we find out in this scene that both Chakotay and Janeway have passed away 17 years ago. So we are under the assumption that they have not made it back to the Alpha Quadrant. They're still en route, but 17 years later. And now that I think about that, I was really, really waiting on bated breath for someone to chime in, you know, someone to call
with what happened.
Yeah. Or just, yeah, just, you know, a hail from the bridge, you know, Captain Tuvok to Naomi Wildman to, you know, to Lieutenant Wildman. I was waiting for that because I want to know who is captain now. I mean, next in succession after Chakotay would be Tuvok because he's Lieutenant Commander, right? So he would be the next. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming it was Tuvok, but we never find out. We never find out. But we find out.
If Janeway and Chakotay died 17 years ago, then how are they in Prodigy? Interesting. Interesting. Very, very funny. Interesting.
Very, very anyway, interesting. Yes. We do find out that in 17 years, the sensors in Astrometrics have been upgraded to the point where they can detect temporal things. So that's how good they are. But they also talk about how too bad Seven's not here. And Janeway's like, Seven? Because she doesn't know who this is. But Chakotay says, well, Seven's someone who really knows about temporal mechanics more than all of us. But unfortunately, she hasn't been found. And evidently, the area where what do you call this? The surge that blew out. Yeah, the surge that blew out the warp core and the surge that knocked Chakotay unconscious. It also that it happened in their time frame. So it shattered. It shattered. What did it say?
It's like this section was the focal point and it was obliterated. This focal point of the surge.
Right. So the surge happened and knocked out Chakotay in his time frame, but in this time frame, it knocked out a section of the ship that unfortunately, Seven of Nine was working in at the time. So she is MIA at this point.
Yeah. And too bad they can't find her because she would be more help with the temporal mechanics than anyone else. They could work a lot faster.
Yeah.
Naomi does say to Janeway that when she was little, there's nothing she wanted more than to be the assistant to Captain Janeway. And I love that.
She said that in this scene?
Oh. Yeah, she did. Okay. She wanted to be the assistant to the captain. And Icheb stops Chakotay and says, you know, I never did tell Neelix where you hid that cider, which was just very sweet. It's a nice scene with the older Naomi and Icheb to kind of connect some dots there. It was nice.
Most definitely.
Back in the corridor, Janeway wants to know why they're looking for the Seven person, she says, in Cargo Bay. What's she doing in Cargo Bay?
That's where she works.
Yeah.
And Chakotay's like,
no, she spent a lot of time regenerating there.
Yeah.
And they go into basically a Borgified cargo bay.
Yeah.
With green mood lighting and lots of, it's Club Borg.
And this is, it's Club Borg, but it's a throwback to the episode Scorpion where we first encounter Seven of Nine, essentially. Yep. So season 4.
Yeah. And Janeway wants to be filled in on this timeline. Yeah. And Chakotay spills the beans because there's no temporal prime directive yet. And he
says, where is that temporal prime directive police officer that should be right there?
I am that person.
You are that person.
But Chakotay says that they had a temporary alliance with the Borg. and then Seven shows up, full Borg, asking, you know, what has happened to Voyager? And I wrote, I'm sure Jerry Ryan was thrilled to get back in the full Borg makeup.
I'm going to say this, though. It looked better the second time around.
Yes, it did look better.
The wardrobe, the makeup, it just looked better all around.
It looked better, although I will say I felt like Jeri Ryan's performance was more human than her first time she was the full Borg.
Interesting.
I felt like it was a little less Borg this time.
Okay.
If we were in that timeline, I feel like she should have been super robot super Borg.
Yeah. Okay.
Chakotay introduces them. Seven explains how a Borg vessel can withstand these temporal stresses while at transwarp. And the Borg cube keeps all the sections in temporal sync.
By projecting a chronoton field throughout the vessel. Those chronotons are so important.
And tasty.
Yes.
Exactly. So she explains how Borg vessels are specifically designed with these kinds of chronoton field conduits or something.
Which protects them, it keeps them in sync. That's the key, right?
And then she says they could install similar conduits throughout Voyager, but they would need a big powerful field, a sufficient energy field. And this is when they're putting all this together. And if they could do this, if they could create this kind of link throughout the ship, that Chakotay could have a small window where he could try to counteract the warp core reaction.
Yeah.
And it's a very tricky plan.
Yeah.
But they don't have a way to get these conduits in different parts of the ship because of these barriers. And then Janeway says, wait a minute, bioneural circuitry.
This is her warp particles moment.
Yeah.
Bioneural circuitry.
Yeah. It's like a nervous system. It runs through the entire ship. And if we could inject the gel packs all around the ship with that serum, that could create a similar kind of chronoton field like the Borg ship.
So that's the mission.
Go team. That's the mission. Go team.
Oh, and at the end, Seven says, well, there's only two of you. That's very inefficient. My plan is, I think that we should assimilate you and then assign other drones underneath you. So Janeway's like, no, I don't like that plan.
Okay, no, we won't be assimilating anybody.
See ya.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go hang out with this like hunky guy.
Very handsome man.
That kind of held me so tightly from my ready room into the corridor. And now we're friends. Yeah.
We're back in the corridor. Janeway says, that was weird, basically.
Yeah.
Chakotay says, you know, you're going to find a way to deal with this Borg in the future.
Yeah.
Again, breaking the temporal prime directive.
Yeah. He doesn't give her details, though.
No, but
is he really breaking it if he doesn't give her details? Because she doesn't know when.
I think he's breaking it.
Okay.
I'm on team Chakotay is a rule breaker.
Okay.
And by the way, they're leaving there. They're walking with their shoulders like bumping into each other.
Yeah.
They just met, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They're already close.
Yeah. Chakotay then rattles off this quote. In the middle of the journey of our life, I found myself astray in a dark wood where the straight road had been lost, which is a quote from Dante's Inferno. And Janeway's like, wait a minute. I didn't know Dante's Inferno was on the Maquis reading list. And Chakotay says, actually, I borrowed your copy. And Janeway says, my fiance gave me that book as an engagement gift. I've never lent it to anyone. JC moment right here.
Oh my gosh.
Never lent it to anyone? It was from her fiance?
What? Yeah.
Okay.
Chakotay does say he agrees with Dante that if you always see the road ahead of you, it's not worth the trip. So she's very impressed. You're a soldier and a philosopher, she says. Your intelligence file does not do you justice.
Flirt, flirt, flirt.
Flirty, flirt, flirt, flirty, flirty, flirt, 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 flirt vibes all over the place.
Yeah.
We go to sickbay. The doc is suiting up Janeway with a belt that's got all these vials.
Let's be honest. What did that belt? What does that look like to you? That looks like shotgun shells. That's what it is. It's an ammo belt for shotgun shells that they modified to look like, you know, something to put these the hypospray liquids into. So
Janeway's very impressed with the EMH's versatility, and he says, "Well, he's been running for so long, he's developed new subroutines." And she says, "Well, how long have you been running?" He says, 3 years.
Yeah.
Because the original doctor was killed. Chakotay comes in with his own belt. Janeway says, how was he killed?
Yeah. Yeah. She says, how was he killed? And he says, in the incident that stranded us here in the Delta. Before he finishes it, the Chakotay catches on.
Whoa. Temporal prime directive. Oh, suddenly? Really? Suddenly, other people can't tell every spill all the beans like you've been doing the whole episode. But anyway, he stops him from sharing the Delta Quadrant part of the story, getting lost in the Delta Quadrant.
Janeway then says that she'll take the upper decks and Chakotay should take the lower decks. And another JC moment, Chakotay says, "I don't think splitting up's a good idea." Janeway's like, "We get the job done faster." And he goes, No, as your first officer, it is my duty to protect you and be your knight in shining armor. I have that part. I know a lot more about what's out there than you do. So we have no way of communicating." So again, he's saying we must stick very, very closely to each other. This is the only way to succeed. And this is how JC shippers will rejoice all around the
Yes,
world to see them.
absolutely. Absolutely. We got in a corridor. They're opening a panel in the hallway. There's some gel packs. They start working. She asks about how many crew members have been lost. Chakotay says they've lost some crew members, but they've also gained some crew members as well.
But we get a number here that we've never gotten before. It's the number of crew members before the Maquis showed up. So 153, 153 crew members. I never knew that. I didn't know that
I
that's
didn't know
what
that
it was.
either.
You're number 152 and I'm 153, right? So
I guess
we're already
so,
on the
yeah.
ship.
Okay, so they're injecting the gel packs with a hypospray when suddenly this macro virus from Macrocosm comes around a corner and they start running through and pass through a barrier.
Chakotay knows
Janeway's like,
exactly what that is, so
what the hell was that? He explains again, breaking the temporal prime directive. He explains the whole story. She says, wow, it seems like we went from one disaster to another. And Chakotay says, you told me that Starfleet captains don't choose their missions, that the missions choose them. And I like that quote
It's a
there.
good quote. It's a good quote. It is a very good quote.
We go to the holodeck next. Well, we go to a cave in black and white, so we assume we're in the holodeck.
Oh,
It is the Bride of
God.
Chaotica holodeck, and Janeway's walking through this cave. She says, a monochromatic environment. Chakotay says, yes, it's one of Tom Paris's holodeck programs. Janeway picks up Captain Proton's rocket pack and says, interesting technology. And basically, Chakotay says, Captain Proton is obviously the savior of the universe, which of course is true.
But then she bags on Paris. She's like, doesn't sound like Mr. Paris's tastes are very sophisticated. And I got a little defensive when she said that. I'm like, what? Why are you bagging on
Yes,
Tom
it's
for that?
rude,
How
rude,
dare you?
rude. Very rude.
But then Chakotay corroborates how unsophisticated you are. That's why we love having him around, that unsophisticated Tommy Paris. The access port should be there. So they find it, and
They start to
that's
move some rocks from a panel when suddenly Lonzak shows up with his men, orders them to seize them. Chakotay tries to deactivate the program, but the computer says it can't comply. Holodeck controls are offline. And I'm wondering at that point, wait, are safety protocols offline too? They
No,
can't be because they're so
no.
casual
Yeah, they're too
that they
casual.
have to assume, Janeway, after she gets grabbed and strapped down, she's rolling her eyes constantly. I assume safety protocols are still on and that they know that.
Yeah,
But I wouldn't be
definitely.
rolling my eyes so much if the safety protocols were
Yeah,
off.
she was rolling them a lot.
Yes, she
And
was.
Chaotica doesn't like eye rolling. I know that.
No,
I
he's
know
very
that for a
sensitive.
fact. But doesn't Chakotay say, like, hey, you need to roll with this,
Yes, he
you need it
does.
because
Play along,
play
basically.
along. That's when she calls him
Yes.
her liege.
Yes, and I love the evil laughing from Dr. Chaotica.
From Martin.
Martin Rayner, his evil laugh as we push in on that close-up was
Very
amazing.
funny.
Janeway's eye roll.
Chakotay screws up. He says aliens from the eighth dimension, which is not a dimension in Captain Proton. So,
And Dr. Chaotic says everyone knows there are only five dimensions. So kind of busted there.
But
Janeway
then, go
tells
ahead.
him, go investigate that hidden panel if you don't believe me that there's these
Aliens from the eighth dimension.
eight, yes, if you don't believe him, in eight dimensions. So they go. Lonzak pulls up a rock, which was a giant rock, by the way. And I was like, Lonzak is he is ripped if he can just pick this
Well,
giant rock up and move it.
Yeah. I mean, that being said, I mean, the actor who played Lonzak was a very large man. So
he was large, but
he was big.
I don't know. When he pulled that rock out so easily and just stood there and kind of whipped it around, I'm like, it feels a little cheesy.
But that's what Proton is. It's that cheesy. Is what Proton, so it works.
Yeah.
I have no issue with that.
Janeway tells Kiyotaka if he injects it with a device that he took from them,
it'll neutralize it.
You neutralize it.
Yeah.
And he knows exactly, Kiyotaka, how to use this hypo spray. He does it. I like that he tosses the hypo spray away because it was like, don't talk. They need that hypo spray for all the other bioneural gel packs. But anyway, he tosses it. They'll get it later.
Oh my God.
He does come over and free her from her restraints. He says, oh, Arachnia, you do love me. And Janeway says, how could I resist your magnetism? Very funny.
Together, we will rule the cosmos and grind our enemies into dust.
I loved and his, then he kisses his hand gesture. Hand.
Yeah, his rule little hand gesture.
And grind them to into dust.
Dust. Like each finger kind of grinded into dust. And then he kisses her arm, very similar to Gomez Adams from the Adams family, just all the way up to her shoulder. And she rolls her. I don't think she should have rolled her eye on that one. I think it should have been less eye rolling at the very end there.
Yeah.
Personally.
Would have been fun to see something else. There was just a lot of eye
rolls. Just because he does look up at her at the end and she rolls her eyes then. You see what I'm saying? So it was like, Chaotic is kissing you. You can roll them if he's engaged in kissing and not looking at your face. But at the very end, he looks up at her and her reaction is like, she's not playing the part any longer. She should have been smiling like, hello. Or like, let me blow you a kiss, whatever. Yeah. Right. So that's going to be, I'm going to put that on Terry Wendell. So,
okay.
Moving on.
We're in the corridor. Janeway and Chakotay are walking down the hall. Janeway says, if we restore the timeline, remind me to cancel Mr. Paris's holodeck privileges.
Rude.
Ouch.
Rude.
That hurts. That actually hurts.
That hurt me. Yes. I was like, what? No. Yes. How dare you?
They go in, walk into a turbo lift. Next, we see them coming in the transporter room. Yes. They find Maki, Balana, and Ayala.
Oh my God. So this is from Caretaker now. Okay. Yes. So they're all in Maki uniforms. This is when we held them in. We didn't have enough brig space. So now we're holding them in the transporter room, basically.
I guess so. Yeah. Balana wants to know what's going on. She recognizes Chakotay. He says, it's very complicated. I'll explain what's going on.
Yeah. She's like, what are you doing in that uniform? That horrible Starfleet uniform, basically.
She can't believe that Chakotay is trusting Janeway and working with her. And he says, just trust me. I've never lied to you before and I'm not lying now.
Yeah.
That seems to convince Balana, and Chakotay injects some gel packs in the transporter room. Janeway looks at Balana, obviously curious as to why this woman doesn't trust her in that moment. I saw that look from Kate. It was great.
It was good.
We go out in the corridor, Janeway and Chakotay walking again.
Yeah.
And Janeway says, Balana blamed her for stranding them.
Well, she said that woman.
So yeah, that woman blamed me for stranding them. And Chakotay tries to brush it off. He's, you know, she's just angry. And Janeway wants more clarity and wants to know what happened. And he says, you were trying to save lives. And
he's spilling the beans.
He's spilling the beans. Yeah. There were Okampans, alien culture. And don't second guess yourself. Look,
I would have ended with, you were trying to save lives. That's it. Don't list the name of the alien culture as the Okampans. Now she's going to know. You just spilled it to her. So,
But this scene is about, basically Janeway's like, you know, I'm starting to second guess every decision I ever made. Like, everything I'm seeing looks like I just got us in trouble, more trouble. I didn't, you know, protect anyone. Mm-hmm. We do go in the mess hall next, and they see all these injured people in beds. Tom Paris finally shows up in the episode. He's tending to them. He asks how they got in there, because obviously they're trapped in mess hall with all these injured people and can't seem to get out of this timeline.
Right.
And Tom says it's radiation poisoning, EPS relays overloaded.
Yeah.
When they ran into an anomaly and they need the doctor and medical supplies. So this is the current timeline. It's got to be the season 7 where we started. This is Tom in that timeline. So just to recap, Tom knows about his relationship with B'Elanna, knows all the things they've been through. B'Elanna doesn't, because her timeline is back in the Maquis days. So I'll reference that a little later.
Right.
But
Neelix
shows up, offers the captain coffee black. She's like, who are you and how do you know I like my coffee black? She accepts the coffee. Neelix reassures her, you know, you always get us out of this.
Yeah.
This kind of jam. Don't, you know, we'll be fine. Don't worry. Which I thought was cute. Neelix's positivity.
Right.
They're about to leave when Janeway hears Tuvok say captain from across the room.
He's like, captain.
He is injured badly.
Is that pretty good? Captain. Yeah.
I have a question. So Tuvok, if we're in the current timeline and Tuvok is this injured, I mean, I guess we go back and redo the moment of, yeah, okay. It makes sense. Because
by the end of the episode, we get restarted.
Yeah.
It's a restart where this Tuvok, this reality never happens. That has to be the correct.
Yeah, because he dies.
Flow chart here. Yeah, he's dying here. But also, while he's dying, he's like, it's been an honor to serve with you. Yeah. And to be your friend. So it's sort of like Spock inside the warp core with Shatner, with Kirk. So it's Spock and Kirk. And now it's Tuvok and Janeway. And that's when Janeway yells out, Mr. Paris, and you take your sweet time. I think you had some chronotons earlier. You were kind of a little slow coming over. You didn't really.
I did. I had some chronotons.
You had some chronotons.
That's all they had in the mess hall was chronotons.
That's it. You were stuck in the mess hall. Neelix gave you chronotons, and you were a little slow coming over to
dying. Well, I think everybody's dying here. He's got a whole room
full of people. He's got a lot of people.
No medicine, no nothing. Yeah,
that's true. So I'm not going to blame it on you, but I do think that your moves were a little bit slower than I thought they should be.
Not much he can do. He's okay. This is bad.
Yeah. I'm putting no blame on you. I'm just saying the chronotons made you slow.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Yeah.
We go out to a corridor and a turbo lift again. Janeway says she cannot let this happen.
Yeah, no.
Again, and Chakotay's like, what do you mean? And she's now saying all of it, getting stranded and all the deaths. And
it's just too overwhelming.
Everything is my fault. And she's got to change it.
Yeah.
And she wants to try to modify the plan, see if she can put Voyager back.
Yeah.
Into its original time frame so they never go to the Delta Quadrant. None of this happens.
Mm-hmm.
And Chakotay stops the turbo lift right there. He's like, wait a minute. This plan is already dangerous enough. And if we change it, it's going to be way too risky. She's like, but it's worth the risk. And he says, no, they have to go forward with a current plan. If they do, Tuvok will be fine.
Yeah.
And she said, it's not just about that. It's about all of this. She wants to know what really happens. She says, he says, what about the temporal prime directive? She goes, the hell with that.
Yep.
And Chakotay says, with all due respect, it's a little presumptuous of you to think that you have the right to change everyone's future.
Yeah.
And she says, but they'll thank me. And he goes, no, it's not just, you're only seeing part of the picture. You're missing the part about people like Seven of Nine who became a member of this crew, or Tom Paris, who was a former convict, and now he's our pilot and chief medical officer and husband to B'Elanna.
Yeah.
And Janeway says, that angry woman?
Yeah. And I immediately thought about, could we make a t-shirt with B'Elanna saying the angry woman or just angry woman on there?
Yeah.
But I do feel like, you know, this whole scene is basically Chakotay saying to Janeway, you've only seen the worst of it.
Yeah, there's a
you
lot
haven't
of
seen
good.
Any good that we've gone through in the last 7 years. There's wonderful moments as well that you have not been privy to. So,
and this was another great scene with Beltran, knowing all the lines inside and out, and he did not stumble here at all. I thought this was really, really good.
And I just want to say to everyone out there, I don't want everyone to assume that Robert Beltran doesn't know any of his lines on anything that he's worked on in his life. He's just not a massive, he's not a fan of sci-fi. And so I think when you're not into a genre, it's harder to memorize technobabble and things like that.
If
you give him Shakespeare, he'll know everything in a Shakespeare play, which arguably more difficult to memorize than this.
The other thing I noticed with Beltran, and I can relate to as an actor, when you're in scenes where you just have a couple lines here or there, like on the bridge, it's hard to remember.
Very much so.
They come out of left field.
They're expositional lines.
Yeah,
they're,
you can't, you can't remember where you jump in. It's just, it's much easier in a scene like this where you've got tons of lines, but it's just you and another character back and forth, back and forth.
Because the cues make sense. They don't come out of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, he tells her, like, don't change the future. There's a lot of good to it.
Right.
She finishes with, are you going to be lecturing me like this for the whole 7 years? And he says, yes, but you'll always get the last word.
Don't worry. You'll always get the last word.
Yeah. Which she does. She's like, okay, let's get back to work.
Let's get back to work. She had the last word. Yeah.
In the corridor again, she wants to know about the Seska person.
Yeah.
He fills her in. How she joined the crew, defected, leaving. He does leave out the part where she catfished him about carrying his baby. He does tell Janeway some of it, but he doesn't mention
There you go. That's the temporal prime directive working right there. He's not going to give the full detail.
He is cherry picking what he's going to share.
But they're concerned because they feel like Seska's not going to, you know, play
along.
She's
going to
be
a problem.
This. Yeah, she's going to be an issue. Definitely.
Yeah. So we cut to engineering. Chakotay is trying to talk to Seska. He's being held
diplomatic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's looking at this hypo spray. She says, I believe you. This is too preposterous to be a lie. So they let him go.
Yep.
Seska even gets a little flirty here. She talks about how he becomes more, is becoming more distinguished with age. And then suddenly she turns on him.
Yeah.
And realizes that if he's from the future, that means her plan won't succeed.
Right.
And that the Voyager crew is going to take back the ship if he's still around.
Yeah.
And trying to flip back to his timeline.
Yeah.
She can't let that happen. And the Kazon grab him. They pull him away. She wants to change the plan to calibrate this pulse to bring the whole ship in temporal sync with her timeline. So suddenly, she wants to not go back to his timeline. Uh-huh. In reality, she wants her plan to work.
Yeah.
Basically, she's like, I will not be deterred. Mm-hmm. Kazon raised the rifles. We feel like it's going to be the end of Chakotay when we see Janeway, Tom, and Harry step through a barrier on the second level. How did they get there? They've walked through all these other barriers. They were just watching from behind a barrier, I guess.
We have the serum too now. That's what it is.
That's true.
But do you remember filming? You remember filming this?
I do. I remember this.
I remember Wendell saying, and now, guys, this is when you jump off the second level on the Kazon. And I'm like, okay. And if you notice, you climbed over. I went under the thing because on that day, I was like, this is so dangerous. I was like, it's high up. And I said, Robbie's taller than me. His legs are probably longer, definitely. And so for me, it made no sense to try to hurdle it like you did. I was like, no, I'm not gonna do that. So I went underneath is what I did.
But it was high. I remember they shot the angle looking up at us.
Yeah.
We had pads and things.
Yeah, we actually jumped. We jumped off of that thing.
Yes,
right?
We did. I remember the ninja jump that we did off that balcony.
Yeah.
It was kind of fun for me. I was like, this is cool. I felt pretty safe, but it definitely, you had a little adrenaline up there.
Oh, yes, you did. There are some nerves. There definitely were some nerves that day.
Yeah. Chakotay lets in Icheb and Naomi, adult Icheb and Naomi come in.
Yeah.
Naomi sets off an explosion at a console.
Yeah.
Alana, Ayala, some other Maquis come in. Seska grabs.
I love this. This is everyone, the team up right here, right?
Yeah,
everyone's
got serum.
All the timelines are together. We got Tarek there. Yeah, yep. Everyone's there.
Yeah. And then Seska grabs Janeway in a chokehold.
Yeah.
And she basically says, I want all my people to be inoculated so we can travel through the ship.
Right.
Nope.
Seska's
about to shoot Janeway when Borg 7 walks in the door.
Oh my God.
Through a barrier and Seska shoots at her, but she's got her Borg stuff on. So bounces off.
And then Seven grabs her in that crazy chokehold too.
Yeah.
You see that? I was like, it was like, wow.
Yeah,
aggressive. So
we cut out to space. We see that the ship is still stuck in this temporal anomaly, still fritzing from in space. We come back and B'Elanna reports Seska and Kazon are all in the Jeffries tube secured. Chakotay says the gel packs are ready. And Janeway gives a speech. She wants everybody to go back to their section, their timeline. And she says, after Chakotay initiates this pulse, he should find himself back at the moment Voyager first encountered this chronokinetic surge.
Uh-huh.
And he's only going to have a few seconds. But I'd like you to thank you all for putting your doubts aside.
Good
she said,
luck, she
when these
says.
timelines are restored, none of us are going to remember
Yeah.
what's happened.
Right. So everyone leaves after she says, good luck to all of you, except
Yeah.
for Janeway and Chakotay. And here it is, the JC moment. Janeway says, yes.
I was going to say before, and I want to hear you describe the JC moment, but everyone heads off.
Yeah.
Tom and B'Elanna are walking a foot apart, and Tom knows that B'Elanna is his, like, they don't even look at each other. And B'Elanna should be like, who are you? She's a Maquis. And Tom should be like, guess what?
Okay.
You're going to like me someday.
There should be some recognition of that. Yes, you're right. You're right. Okay. So Janeway basically turns to Chakotay and says,
mind if I ask you one last question?
And Chakotay says, well, I have to break the temporal time prime directive to answer it, which is kind of funny. And Janeway says, well,
maybe just a little. For two people who started off as enemies, it seems we get to know each other pretty well. So I've been wondering, just how close do we get?
Dun, dun, dun! Because she's feeling the attraction to Chakotay in that moment. And so she wants to know. She knows that there's something going on there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Chakotay answers with, let's just say there are some barriers we never cross. And then she awkwardly brings her hand up to shake it. I'm like, no, that should be a kiss, but okay.
But
it is what it
I think this does answer the question that were they feeling feelings that the audience all saw, that I saw, that you saw? And this answers the question, yes, they were both feeling those feelings.
Yes.
And it also answers the question, why didn't they act on it? Because sometime off camera, they agreed to not cross some barriers. That's why they can have dinner together and flirt a little, but they're not going to cross the barriers. I thought this scene was super important for our series.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she says, see you in the future.
Oh,
so,
my goodness. Yeah.
We go back to the bridge. We're in caretaker time bridge in this moment. Janeway walks in, takes her seat. She asks Harry for an update. He says Chakotay will be initiating the pulse in 10 seconds. Starts a countdown there. We go to engineering. Chakotay does initialize the pulse. This bright light fills the room. I love the, we cut around to the bridge with this energy distortion. I love the VFX kind of double exposure thing happening. Yep.
Now when Janeway asks, what is it? Which is harkens back to that earlier scene. Now I respond, not looped. I say, I don't know. This is my real voice on this. They use that on set. So no looping here. Main power is being rerouted to the deflector dish. Janeway's like, who gave that order? And we do see everything sort of just, everything just goes out. The deflector's been burned out, but we're okay. So then Janeway's like, well, do you mind telling me why B'Elanna burned out the deflector dish? And Chakotay's like, well, actually, I ordered it. Janeway's like, what? Why? Chakotay's like, trust me, it's better than the alternative. And then she's still kind of like trying to probe here, which is what exactly? And she was like, I can't tell you. And she's like, why the temporal prime directive? B'Elanna's already got a team working on the repairs. And what do you say we finish our dinner?
And I loved her look, by the way. Great smiley face from her. She was like, she's like, really?
You've got
a secret. I don't know. It was a very, very
It was a nice interchange, definitely. And we end with the final scene in Janeway's quarters. After dinner, they've been drinking up that cider. And, you know, they have a nice little connection here. Nice little moment.
They have this dinner, and she would want to know what happened if the deflector dish had not been turned into a lightning rod. And he said, you know, we've been down this road before. And she says, oh, have we? And he says, yeah, you wanting answers to questions that you shouldn't be asking. And Janeway says, it's strange knowing there's a piece of your life that you don't know anything about. And Chakotay says, well, that sounds a lot like the future, which was so relatable, right? We all want answers to questions that we can't get answers on.
Yeah.
And then she says, what, you know, any predictions on the future? And he says, only that in a few minutes, this bottle will be empty. And he pours her a glass. And then she says, well, maybe we should go to Cargo Bay and get another bottle. And he's like, wait, what? How do you know where my hiding place is? And she goes, I can't tell you.
And Chakotay says, why not? And she responds with?
Temporal prime directive.
Dun, dun, dun. I love that ending. It's cute.
It's very
really cute.
Very, yeah. Very cute.
Oh my God. Okay. So do you have a theme that you, what is your lesson from this? Would you say?
Yes. My theme is don't regret the past, that things happen. Sure. Bad things, you know, choices we made and things we've done in life may have some consequences that we regret or that we wish weren't true, but also so many good things happen because of the choices we make. So don't try to second guess it or change it, like the scene where Janeway wanted to not, you know, prevent the Voyager from going to the Delta Quadrant. And Chakotay's like, no, a lot of good things happened. Naomi was born here. She's, you know, Seven's life was changed. So many good things. Neelix, all these things happened that wouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm.
So don't regret the past.
Okay.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How about this? Don't obsess with the past, because that means you are ignoring the present, which will then lead to you having no future.
Yeah, great.
How's that?
Okay. I like it.
All right.
I like it.
What is your rating of this episode?
My rating for Shattered, I love this episode. It was super fun. I'm going to give this an 8.5.
Wow.
Okay. 8.5 is pretty high. I might even go 8.6, actually.
Okay.
8.6, final answer. Hmm. What about you?
Well, it fits a lot of the Robbie Duncan McNeil criteria in that pretty much everyone was used in this episode.
Yeah.
So that's the main thing.
Even old guest stars were used.
Even old guest stars. So it actually went above and beyond.
Yep.
Okay. Agreed. So my only issues were a few of the funny things where, for instance, Seska not being able to hit Chakotay, who's, I'm going to say, probably 2 feet away from her. How could she not hit him? Other than that, and maybe a couple other things, I really loved this episode. This was a very entertaining episode. It was a walk mm-hmm. down memory lane. I love seeing all the guest stars that we've had in the past. I loved the references to the old episodes we've had, Macrocosm, you know, Caretaker, Pre-Caretaker. Mm-hmm. So my rating is going to be 9.5.
Holy moly.
I guess this is probably the highest rating I've given anything.
Wow. In the
episode. Yes. There you go.
Well, it's funny. You give it a 9.5. I get an 8.6.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of that is our Admiral and Captive.
Really?
Yes. Admiral and Captain's average rating is 9.1.
Look at that. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I was going to say 9.9, but I didn't go that high.
So. Wow.
Yeah, because I thought you would look at me like I'm crazy. But
still, 9.1 for our captains, admirals. Awesome.
It's pretty darn good.
There's
some moments in here that are so cheesy, but I love the cheesiness. I love that whole beginning when Janeway has no clue who this Chakotay is, and he's holding her hostage and all that stuff. It was the best. Really
so good.
Good.
What is next week?
Yes. Next week, we will be reviewing, recapping, and discussing the episode Lineage. So join us then, everyone. And thank you for tuning in to our recap and discussion of Shattered. For all of our Patreon patrons, please stay tuned for your bonus material.
Stay tuned. If you're a Patreon patron, I just want to say Lineage next week, we're going to be having a very special guest. And very special bonus material.
Are you spoiling it already?
I'm not spoiling it. I'm just saying don't
you're not gonna
miss
say the
it.
Name.
Don't miss it. Next week.
We're going to have a special guest by the name of Chronoton. Just kidding.
Better, even better than Chronotons.
Even better than Chronotons on your salad.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, everybody. See you next week.